Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. So Jacob is at a crossroads here. He has just overcome one big hurdle in his life. For 20 years, he had served Laban, his uncle, and he had married his two daughters. He had only intended to marry the one, Rachel, but he got hoodwinked into marrying Leah first and then later Rachel. And so he served Laban for 20 years, and Laban made Jacob's life difficult. So finally, God comes to Jacob and says, it's time for you to go home. Get up and get on your journey and go back home. And the Lord promises, return to the land of thy fathers and to thy kindred. I will be with thee. All right. And he also assures him, I have seen all that Laban doeth to you. I am the God of Bethel, where thou anointest the pillar, and where thou vowest a vow unto me. Now arise and get thee from this land and return to the land of thy kindred. So Jacob gets up, he packs up everything, all of his people, his sons, his wife, his servants, and all the cattle and the flocks and the herds and everything. And he begins the long journey from Paddan Aram all the way back to the land of Canaan. Now, as he's going, however, he is painfully aware of the fact that he left behind at home an angry brother, Esau. And Esau had threatened to kill him before he had to run away to go to Paddan Aram and stay with Laban. And so Jacob has cut himself loose from Laban, or so he thinks, and now he's heading home. But before him, there is this great anxiety about what is going to happen to me with respect to my brother Esau. Because if you remember, Jacob cheated Esau out of his birthright and out of his blessing. All right, it was rightly Esau's because he was the firstborn. But Jacob craftily got his brother's birthright. And so his name is appropriate. His name is Jacob, which means a supplanter, somebody who takes somebody else's place. All right, so he is a supplanter, and his name is a reminder of that. So he's heading back home. Laban and his soldiers come tearing along, and they are going to get Jacob and the women and the children and all the cattle and bring them back again. They don't want Jacob to get away because Jacob has been blessed of God, and therefore indirectly Laban has been blessed of God by having Jacob with him. So Laban does not want them getting away. So he takes off after them. And now God comes to Laban the night before he meets up with Jacob, and he warns him, don't do anything to harm Jacob. So he gets a warning from God not to harm or do anything ill to Jacob. So they finally come together, and Laban is complaining, and you did this and you did that. And Jacob finally opens his mouth and tells Laban all the unjust things that he had to suffer at his hands in order to be with him. And So they finally, they make an agreement together and they make a covenant together that they will no longer pursue one another in order to seek vengeance. All right, so they make a covenant and they agree together, and Laban takes his men and they go back to Paddan Aram, and Jacob now is begins to take his flocks, his herds, his cattle, his family, and head back home. All right, so they come to a certain place, and it says that Jacob went his way, and the angels of God met with him. And when Jacob saw them, he said, "This is God's host." And he called the name of that place Mahanaim. So what's happening here is that Jacob, he is relieved to have the problem behind him solved. But he still has a big problem out ahead of him. He left his angry brother threatening to kill him. And now Jacob is worried, sorely worried, that his brother will make life tough for him, might even kill him. So the first thing that God does here is God lets Jacob see this host of angels, an encampment of angels. And Jacob notices this, and he says that he calls the name of the place Mahanaim, which means two hosts. So he has his camp, all of his people, but with him is the angelic armies of God. And so God is comforting Jacob, right? And Jacob notes this, and he continues to go on his way. But he's going to try the best that he can to be at peace with his brother Esau. And so he begins to send one group of servants after the other with all manner of gifts and cattle and flocks and herds to present to Esau as a peace offering. And so before Jacob and his main group, there goes out this one group after another of servants with presents for Esau, telling him, "Jacob is coming and he wants to be at peace with you. He wants to be at one with you and not to be to continue in this trouble." So Jacob is doing everything he can to make sure that his brother Esau is no longer angry. So Jacob was greatly afraid and distressed, and so he begins to pray. All right, so think about it. God has just encouraged him as he's looking ahead to the problem of Esau. He has just encouraged him with a band of angels. But Jacob is still, he's doing what he can to make nice with Esau. And then he finally prays. And when he prays to his to God, he says, "Oh God of my father Abraham, God of my father Isaac, the Lord which said unto me, return to thy country and to thy kindred, and I will deal well with thee." All right, so Jacob here reminds God of his promise, which is a wonderful thing for us to remember in our times of trouble. Remember the promises of the Lord, and don't be afraid to remind God of his promises. So often we get shy and we get tentative when we ought to be bold, right? And so he reminds God, "You said, I will deal well with thee." He goes on in his prayer and he says, "I'm not worthy of the least of thy mercies and of all the truth which thou hast shown unto thy servant. For with my staff I passed over this Jordan, and now I'm become two bands. Deliver me, I pray thee, from the hand of my brother, from the hand of Esau. For I fear him, lest he will come and smite me and the mother with the children. And thou hast said, I will surely do thee good, and make thy seed as the sand of the sea, which cannot be numbered for multitude. Once again, you see, the second time in his prayer, he reminds God of his promises, and he stands upon the promises of God. So he has prayed and asked for God's help. But Jacob is still, he is still agitated, he is still fearful, and he doesn't know what the future is in store for him. He's trying to cling tenaciously to the promises of God. It will go well with thee. I will do thee good. I will make thy seed as the sand upon the sea. All right, but he's struggling. He's struggling. So finally, we come to where our lesson begins tonight from the book of Genesis chapter 32. He takes his wife and the entire group, and they ford the river Jabbok. They cross over, and he sets up camp on the south side of the Jabbok River. Then he himself goes back over onto the north side, and he's left alone on the north side with his family on the other side of the river. And that's where our lesson begins. Jacob was left alone. Now here is where a strange thing happens. Because you think that Jacob has had enough tribulation, and you'd think that now would be the time for God to show up and be gentle and comforting and to assure Jacob with signs and wonders that all will be well. Trust me, I will protect you, I will keep you. But what happens? It says here, there wrestled a man with him until the breaking of the day. So this man shows up and starts wrestling with Jacob and wrestles with him all night long. There are times when it is the will of God to strengthen our faith in his word by sending trial into our life. We would think that Jacob needs a little good news. Jacob needs a break. Jacob needs to be treated with kid gloves. He's gone through an awful lot. But God knows better than we do what we need and when we need it. And so here, God shows up. But he shows up, the second person of the Trinity, the pre-incarnate Son of God, shows up in the form of a man and starts to fight with Jacob. And they are fighting all night long. And when the man, who is God, saw that he did not prevail against him, he can't beat Jacob, right? He touched the hollow of his thigh, and the hollow of Jacob's thigh was out of joint as he wrestled with him. So not only is Jacob having to wrestle all night long, but now he's got a dislocated hip, and he's still wrestling, right? And so, the man, who is God, the Son of God, says, let me go, for the day breaketh. And Jacob here, he says, I will not let thee go except thou bless me. Now, Jacob's not exactly sure what's going on, just like often we are when we are being tried by the Lord. In those times when we think we ought to have been treated with kid gloves, the Lord tries us sorely, right? And we don't exactly quite know what God is up to. And so Jacob doesn't exactly, he knows something's going on. This is not normal that a guy shows up out of nowhere and starts fighting with you, right? So Jacob knows something's going on, but he doesn't know exactly what. But he suspects that God's involved in this, and he says, nope, I will not let you go except you bless me. And he said to him, what is thy name? Another one of those questions like last week, when God asks us a question that he already knows the answer to, but he gives us an opportunity to say it. And he said, Jacob. Now remember what I told you about the name Jacob? It means supplanter. He was named Jacob because of a not so great trait, all right? So Jacob is now a changed man. He has been humbled and he has been disciplined and he has been trained by God in the school of bitter experience. And now God says to him, thy name shall be called no more Jacob, the supplanter, but Israel, prince with God, prince with God. For as a prince hast thou power with God and with men, and hast prevailed. So here, note what the Lord is saying to Jacob here. He's saying, I'm giving you a new name, and that name is a sign that I regard you as a new man. All right, you are no longer Jacob the supplanter, but now you are Israel, the prince with God. Why? Because thou hast power with God and with men, and hast prevailed. Well, how did he have power with God and with men and prevail? In the wrestling match. Because it says at the beginning of the story, a man wrestled with him. But this man is the Son of God who has temporarily taken human form. And so here, Jacob has wrestled and prevailed with men and with God. And so he says, thou hast power with God and with men, and thou hast prevailed. So here Joseph is told something very encouraging. He's being told that all of his troubles that God has allowed into his life, just like the troubles that come into our life, all right, they are for our good. How do we know this? Because of our epistle text for today. Our epistle text from Romans chapter 5 is one of those little golden parts of the Bible that shows us what God is up to when he permits tribulation in our life. So Paul tells us, since we are justified by faith, we have peace with God through Christ. That's number one. Number two, we have access by faith to this grace in which we stand. We stand in the grace of God, and therefore we have access to God. And then third, we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. The word hope always catches modern people a little bit wrongly, because we think of hope as an indefinite term. Right? We think, hope. I hope something good happens, right? And we mean, I would like something good happens, but I'm not sure that it will. Right? But that's not what hope means in the Bible. The word that most accurately describes hope is the word expectation. Because of God's word to us, we have an expectation of an end result that is good, you see? And so we rejoice in expectation of the glory of God. We are waiting for God's gracious promises to be fulfilled. And so those are the three things that are just wonderful about being justified by faith. But then Paul throws a curveball to us all and says something that we go, huh? He says, and not only so, But we glory in tribulations, hardships, troubles, persecutions, afflictions of all kinds. We glory, we boast about our tribulations, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience works character, and character works hope or expectation. All right? So, in other words, tribulation is the place where God trains us to focus our souls and our hearts on His Word. Right? You know, when things are going well in our life, we get rather casual about the Word of God. But when trouble comes, that's when we often turn to God on our knees and pray for God's help. And that's when we search the Scriptures for His promises and seek the comfort of the Word. And it is that experience of being driven by trouble to exercise our faith in the Word that our faith grows stronger. And so it is here tribulation produces patience, patience produces experience or character, and character produces hope or expectation. All right, so in other words, God causes us to grow by means of His Word as we endure tribulation. All right, and so tribulation is not always a bad thing. I mean, it is a bad thing, but it's not really, because God is in it for our good and for our salvation. So now when we get back to Genesis chapter 32, and we hear that the Son of God says, thou hast power with God and with men, and hast prevailed. Jacob has wrestled with God, and God says to him, you have won. You got me. You have won. This is the same thing that took place with Jesus and the woman of Canaan from Sunday. Remember? She comes to him, Son of David, Lord, my daughter is grievously vexed with the devil. What does Jesus do? He answers her not a word. He gives her the silent treatment. So embarrassingly that his disciples come to her and say, send her away. Do what she wants and get rid of her, because this is embarrassing. She's crying after us. We got this crazy woman crying after us. And he says to the disciples in her hearing, I'm not sent but to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Right? So he says, she's not an Israelite. Right? And I'm not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. She comes, falls on her knees and goes, Lord, help me. And he turns to this woman that any one of us would have tried to do what we could at that moment. He turns to her and he says, it's not right to take the children's food and throw it to the dogs. I don't know if you could get any more tough than that, right? And the woman grabs hold of this. She grabs hold of that word dogs, and she somehow sees in it a promise, just like Jacob. He's wrestling with a guy all night long. He doesn't really fully understand why it's happening, but he thinks that God is somehow involved in this. I will not let you go until you bless me, right? That's what the woman was saying. I will not let you go until you bless me, right? So she says to Jesus, truth, Lord, what you're saying is true. Yet even the dogs get the crumbs which fall from the master's table. And Jesus says, oh, woman, great is thy faith. Be it unto thee as thou hast said. All right? And in other words, he says, He says, "You win." And he's happy to say to her, "You win." Right? Now, going back to our story with Jacob here, the man who is God, he says to Jacob, "You have prevailed. You win. You have power with God and with man, and you win." So Jacob now, he should have gotten the message by this point, but give him a little credit. He's been through a lot. Right? And Jacob asked him and said, "Tell me, I pray thee, thy name." So Jacob asks God his name. And he said, "Wherefore is it that thou dost ask after my name? Why are you asking me my name? Isn't it obvious?" Right? "Why are you asking my name?" And he blessed him there. Right? So now it just says to us, he blessed him there. But what does that mean? It means that God manifested himself to Jacob in an undeniable way. And he reiterated all of the covenant promises that were given to Abraham and to Isaac and previously to Jacob. And he renews these promises with him and he blesses him there. So we don't hear anything more about the man after he blesses him. But we see the reaction of Jacob. So Jacob has a while to kind of sit there and catch his breath. And finally, everything dawns on him, you know, when the thing is over with. Just like us, we're often like that. We don't notice this great thing that's happening to us until it's over. And then we go, huh, right? Huh, what do you know? So Jacob called the name of the place Peniel. Peniel is a Hebrew word that means face of God, face of God. Fani is face and El is God, right? So Faniel or Peniel here. Why does he name it that? "For I have seen God face to face and my life is preserved." What a wonderful thing. He has seen God and it didn't kill him. Now he knows what the man meant when he says, "You have power with God and men and has prevailed." Right? This is what God is after when he permits trouble and tribulation in our life. He wants to strengthen our faith so that whatever we have to face, we face it without doubting that God is with us and for us. You see? And so here, the Lord Jesus, who has given us this beautiful picture of the forthcoming incarnation. Here he assumes the appearance of a man for a temporary point, but this is a foreshadowing of the incarnation where the Son of God will take upon him human flesh and in that human flesh do what is necessary for the redemption of the world. Right? And so here, Jacob is delighted with God's blessing. He says, "I've seen God face to face, and my life is preserved." Now, we know that Jacob talked about this for a long time. This was a big campfire story for years to come. How do we know this? Because it says, "As he passed over Phenuel, the sun rose upon him and he halted upon his thigh." So he was limping, but it was a victory limp. Okay? It was a victory limp. "Therefore," now listen to this, "therefore the children of Israel eat not of the sinew which shrank, which is upon the hollow of the thigh unto this day, because he touched the hollow of Jacob's thigh in the sinew that shrank." So everybody in Israel knew about this experience. Why? Because Jacob told everybody who would listen what happened to him when he was waiting for Esau to show up, how he wrestled with a man till the break of day, said, "I will not let you go until you bless me." And then he got a blessing such as he never dreamed he would get, I have seen God face to face, and my life is preserved. And the children of Israel, still years after this, they told the story, and they even built up a tradition that whenever they cooked an animal for eating, they would not eat that part of the hip where Jacob's thigh was put out of joint. And so we know that Jacob was really impressed and encouraged, just like we are, that our Lord Jesus Christ took upon himself human flesh in order to tabernacle with us and to be for us the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. And he has promised to hear and answer our prayers. And he has promised to be with us in every situation. When trouble comes into our lives, it is not that God is gone or has forgotten, but that he is bringing us through the school of experience where tribulation worketh patience, patience worketh experience, and experience increases our expectation of the glory of God in Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. The peace of God that passeth all understanding, keep your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus.